All right, welcome in everybody to episode 6 of Real Talk by the Platform. I just wanted real quick to share a prayer that came up recently. So if you want to pray with me, that'd be awesome. This is by John Wesley. It goes, I'm no longer my own, but yours. Put me to what you will. Place me with who you will. Put me to doing. Put me to suffering. Let me be put to work for you or set aside for you. Praise for you or criticize for you. Let me be full. Let me be empty. Let me have all the things. Let me have nothing. I joyfully surrender all things to you. And now, God, you are mine and I am yours. So be it. Amen. I just wanted to open us up with that prayer, first of all, because I think it's beautiful. And it was just presented to me recently. And I think it's awesome, frankly. Our guest this week actually suggested it to me. And y'all are really in for a treat. But real quick, this episode comes out on Good Friday. And I just wanted us to sit here and reflect on that a little bit. So the main phrase I think about when I think about Good Friday is it is finished, right? And it's the day, it's not literally the day, it celebrates the day when Jesus literally took on all of our sins on himself and cast them away for good. And if you're in Christ, that is the ultimate story. We talk about how stories change lives all the time. But man, the death and resurrection of Jesus is the story that changes lives and is the reason why we live how we live. So with that, I'm going to bring our guest in real quick. How are you today?
Doing great. Really excited for this, to be honest.
Awesome. Sweet. I love the enthusiasm. All right. So real quick, most important question of the day. Absolute most important. Favorite throwback song?
Oh my gosh. That's okay. To be honest, I'm the worst when it comes to songs because I forget them and I blink on them and I can only remember whenever I see them. But okay. I'd say probably... Earth, Fire, and Wind, September. That's a throwback for me. It throws me back to growing up in church and hearing that all the time. My buddies would get really excited for that. So
that's awesome.
That'd be my answer.
That bum, 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 bum. Dude, I love that song. That song's great. Sorry. Oh, man. That's hilarious. When you talked about forgetting songs, that reminded me, this week I had two bars of a song stuck in my head, and it was a rap. So I just took a video of myself rapping it and sent it to my sister. She was like, oh, that's from Disney Channel, Just Dance. That's from Shake It Up. I was like, oh, no way.
It's crazy when people can remember that. I'm always impressed.
Well, typically I'm fine with it, but it was just I had only two bars. Yeah. So I was just like, hey, how does that... And I started going for it. And then that was the whole video. But yeah, so another question. This is equally as important. Favorite snack combo?
Snack combo? So this is probably the most unhealthy snack combo ever, but it's my go-to road snack. So I'm going to say drink and a snack. So the drink is Mean Bean Monsters. Those are absolutely insane. It's coffee plus Monster in one.
Ooh.
Pretty much suicide. It gets you going if you're driving.
Sleeping on your road trips, man. No.
And then I'd say sunflower seeds and hot fries.
Okay.
So that keeps me going. It gets me where I don't feel anything in my mouth because I've been chewing sunflowers for 2 hours and then... burning hot flavor from the hot fries. It's an amazing combo.
Yeah, tongue just scalded beyond belief. Nice. So tell me a little bit about how you grew up.
I am so beyond blessed with growing up in my family. I had amazing parents who were always very supportive, came to absolutely everything. In the town that I grew up in, all my grandparents, aunt, and uncles were there as well on my mom's side. And so we were just very, very close-knit. And if you think of the show Parenthood, it's very similar to that. Everything is together all the time. My grandma has dinners that we would eat at her house, and she cooks for everybody. And so the biggest portion of my life besides God and religion was always family. And so it went family, God, our God, family, and then everything else. And so I was very, very blessed in that regard. And I testament a lot of my faith to the places that my family instilled me, whether that was scouts or whether that was just higher level classes that challenged me to get good work ethic, get to where I'm prepared in life. And just the support system is something that is super big in my family growing up.
All right. Well, leading out of that, I'm going to give the platform entirely to you. Please share your story with us.
Okay. Since we talked about family as the get-go, I'll kind of cover that. The entire point of this podcast is to talk about the story of testimonies, right? And to give power back to God that we see throughout that transformative time. And so for the longest time growing up, I grew up in the church. I grew up with family. I never had any sort of transgression. I never had a come to Jesus moment, as it were, where I did something awful. And then the Lord brought me Savior, and I just shifted entirely. And so I felt growing up that I was not really good enough. I didn't have a story that was worth telling. And looking back now, I see that the Lord blessed me with generational faith and generational salvation. And so to other people who, I know there's so many Christians out there who grew up in the church and were saved in the church, and then they didn't have to endure any sort of hardship, really. And they feel that that doesn't make them worthy. And to that, I say, wouldn't you want that for your kid? Isn't that the testimony that you want for your kid? Like, that's what I want when I have kids. I want them to be able to say, I was saved in the church. I never had to endure. I never struggled and ran away from the Lord and was brought back. Like, that's that is what I want for my kids.
And do you think that belittles the struggles that people go through some a little bit? Like, people growing up in the church in a similar way?
Yes. Well, we as a society become so comparison as to... You know, it's the same thing with sins. All sins, we try and give a title or a ranking to. It's the same thing with people's hardships. We say one is harder than the other, and that's all subjective. You can't quantify somebody's struggles, but everybody tries to because they want to relate. They want to or say theirs is worse. And so, you know, it's people do belittle it, which is sad.
Testimony nights become a bit of a competition
they
sometimes.
They do. It's ridiculous. And then you have people like what I was saying where they were saved in the church and they didn't do anything, and then they feel like their testimony means nothing. And that's sad because it's not true. That, like, that, I think it's so powerful, and that's the testimony, again, I want for my kids. I can't imagine watching my kids go through things that I've gone through. I want to protect, I want to, you know, entrust them just like the Lord wants me to do, right? And so I guess kind of going off that is the split as to, you know, I got into college, and that's whenever I started to deviate from the Lord. I remember it being my freshman year in college, and I had this prayer with the Lord where I was saying, God, I don't feel, again, I'm going to use the same phrase, good enough within my testimony as to the power, the transformative power that you have. And so I said, give me hardship. Put me, similar to, you know, John Wesley's prayer, but instead of put me through hardship for his glory, it was put it through my own glory, so my testament can be good. It shows me changing. And so I think the Lord... Not only did he answer my prayer, but then he humbled me and made me reflect in that period and as after that prayer. But so following that prayer came a time where I was in college, and so I felt that I was blessed with freedom to go out and party, freedom to do whatever I wanted, because this was God's way of saying that I was a good servant. I had been faithful growing up, and so these were his blessings to me. And that was the most backwards thought process. Looking back now, I realized that I was justifying the actions I had because I wanted them to be a blessing. And it's very similar to if you look at, you know, either the prodigal son or Ecclesiastes, right? And so Ecclesiastes is all about King Solomon and all his wisdom, and he's like, I chased after everything in the world, and it was a chasing after the wind, because without God, there is no meaning to everything, right?
Right.
So that's kind of what I found throughout my testimony, my real testimony, as it were. But getting into kind of the root of it, going to a Christian college, which is what I'm going to right now, it made me put on a facade, as it were. Or it didn't make me. It made me feel like I had to put on a facade. So I started partying all the time my freshman year. I started showing up to classes drunk. I started, you know, just being two-faced all the time. I would go out and I would be a leader in my classes or a leader in different sorts of student organizations. And then I would instantly go and get drunk that same night, or whatever it may be, whether that's cheating on tests and a lot of things that were just so wrong, but I just felt that it was okay because it was freedom. It was what I was supposed to do. It's what everybody else was doing at the time. And through that party scene, I ended up finding my girlfriend of the time, who I ended up dating for about 9 months. And in that relationship, I ended up losing my virginity. And she had sex before, and so she was very comfortable with it, very pushy. And really, in a way, looking back, did force me into it. And, you know, I wanted to, but I wasn't really comfortable with it. And so that just kind of broke everything about me. Once I had sex with her, I stopped going to church, stopped showing up to classes, and she just became my world in a way. Yeah. I felt like that was the point that I was so ashamed and embarrassed that I just neglected everybody. I neglected my family. I neglected my friends. I neglected classes. And I remember I'm at the point where I'm still trying to curve my GPA back up because I had a 2.0 GPA. Mm-hmm. And so trying to build that back up for a master's program has been a fun process. But it was just chasing after anything and everything that could distract me.
Mm.
And so that's when the drinking got worse. It became pretty much an everyday thing where I was drunk and then not going to class and then just having sex all the time. And that's all my life was get drunk, have sex. And so, you know, you fast forward to 8 months down the line, and I remember just being absolutely confused. None of it was fulfilling anymore. None of it was fun. None of it was exciting. It just felt habitual. And it felt like, this is who I was. This is what I did. I have to keep doing it. I can't go back to anything else. I don't know. I felt stuck. And so I remember one day, one of my professors walks up to me at the end of class as I'm packing up my stuff. And I mean, he clearly could just smell the liquor just seeping out of my pores, and confronted me and said, "You need to come to my office." So we walked over to his office and he sat me down and he said, "Look, I don't want this to be a thing where you get in trouble, but it's getting to the point where I'm too concerned and you don't seem to want to stop. Obviously, you're drinking and you're showing up to class inebriated or hungover, and I don't want that for you." He's like, "I saw what you were like at the beginning of the semester or freshman year." I had him for 2 years. And so freshman year and then sophomore year was whenever we were towards the end of our relationship and towards me just being drunk all the time. And so we get to having that conversation and he confronts me. He says, "I don't want to report you. I will though, if you don't change." And he was like, "My door is always open. I will talk." And so we talked for, I don't know, 20 minutes or so. And that was,
Did you immediately open up or did it take a second?
No, it definitely took a second. Okay. I was in denial. I was like, "What are you talking about?" Yeah. No, of
did
course
you get
I
defensive?
Haven't. Oh, I did. Yeah. Defensive and angry. And I think that just made it even more obvious that of course I was in the wrong, because if I wasn't, then I wouldn't be upset about
right.
it. So I got very angry with him, and thank God he just had the peace and patience and discernment to see that, you know, returning that wasn't going to do me any good, but having grace in the moment and loving me throughout that anger was the correct approach, and something I've learned now too from that interaction. And if you look at, you know, I love to quote this a lot about peace and patience in the face of anger. When you look at Jesus, whenever he's about to get crucified and they're picking if he's going to get condemned or if he's going to be set free, right? And people are throwing all these accusations at him and everything, and he just remains quiet.
Mm-hmm.
He says nothing. And I can't remember the exact verbiage of this, but it says that Caesar was impressed with him and asked him if he was going to defend himself, and Jesus just remained quiet. And so I think that speaks testimony to when people are angry, when people are mad, sometimes just being quiet is all you need to do, and that does a lot more justice than trying to fuel that fire, as it were. Mm-hmm. You know? But getting back to that story, so he tells me that we have this really good intimate moment, and I'm driving home crying in the car, and I get to my room, and all I know how to do is drink. I don't know how else to cope with this feeling. I hadn't really felt anything besides just being drunk all the time. And so I go to my room and I slam two beers, and then I drop to my knees as I finish the second beer, and I just start bawling. I mean, this is probably one of the hardest I have ever cried in my life. And I'd pray to the Lord, I say, "God, what am I doing wrong? This is not what you want for me. This is not what you've called me to do. This is not who you called me to be." And so I had an hour or two long prayer session where I just talked and talked and talked to the Lord. And I remember finishing, I don't remember everything I said, but I remember.
What were you feeling during that?
During the prayer? Honestly, relief.
Mm.
It it had been something that I didn't talk to anybody about. My roommates didn't know. My parents didn't know. I had done such a good job of hiding it, quote unquote, hiding. I mean, I'm sure it was very obvious to everybody else, but I thought I was the best hider of it. And so it was just sweet relief to just be honest with the Lord. And that's the first time I had prayed to him since I got to college. So it took 2 years for me to even talk to him again. And so, yeah, relief. It was beautiful just having that relief. So I ended it and I said, Lord, I feel like the root of my problems comes from my relationship and me idolizing that relationship and putting that above all else. And I said, I feel like this woman, I've had sex with her. And this is, I always had the idea that if I had sex, I will marry that woman. Then I will have sex with one person. And I said, if this is the woman that you have me to marry, then I will continue to devote myself throughout this hardship. And if it is not, then end it and make it the clearest sign ever. Show me something that I'm supposed to do that would end it. And the Lord answered. That this was the best answer ever. And I, when I tell my testimony, I talk about how he answered my prayer. And people say, well, I'll get to that later whenever I talk about it. But it's weird how grateful I am for the hardship and the things that I'm about to talk about. But that's just because if I didn't have that, then I would still be stuck in that sin. I'd be stuck in that lost. I'd be stuck in that running of chasing after the world, right? So you fast forward from that prayer to 2 weeks down the line, and it's Thanksgiving night. Now, mind you, my girlfriend at the time, I had caught her cheating a couple times while we were dating, whether that was going out on dates with people or like guys coming over to her apartment while I was there. And I was just so down bad that I didn't know what else to do. So I stayed with it and I stuck. And it was like the same thing I said earlier. I wanted to continue to date her throughout that hardship. And so 2 weeks after I prayed that prayer to God, I was at dinner with my grandparents, my aunts and uncle, everybody for Thanksgiving night. And she texts me and goes, my parents are arguing. They were divorced. This was the first time they had family dinner since the divorce. And they tried to do it during Thanksgiving. Bad idea. Did not go well.
Yeah, not sure.
That was pretty stupid. Yeah. So she texts me and says, I'm going to go clear my head and I'm going to go out to the park. And so I said, well, you know, if you want to come over to my grandparents' house, we can talk and you're welcome to just sit here and relax so you don't have to be with them. But I didn't really want to leave my family because I didn't think it was that pressing. But 30 minutes later, I just get this conviction in my heart that I need to go see her. And I don't know how else to explain it to you, but I just knew that I had to go. So I made up an excuse, said I was going to go take care of the dogs, which I wasn't, and went to go check up on her. And I drove out to the park. And this is the most surreal moment of my life because I remember it being exactly like a movie. It starts raining as I'm driving out there. And when I get to the park, I remember driving around trying to find her car. I get to the car and drive up to it, and it's all dark, foggy. So I make a U-turn, come around, walk up to the car, and she's having sex with my high school best friend. And so I instantly start yelling, which wasn't the best response, but I think was semi-justified at the time.
Yeah. can't really blame you.
Yeah, no. And then we get into a little argument, and she tries to say that it didn't happen, and I was like, it's pretty obvious that it's happening. I don't know how you can get away with that. Yeah, I was like, I don't know how you can get away with that. And I mean, there was a lot of conversation that happened there, but essentially I just said, we're done. Don't know if you could tell we're done. Like, this is not something I'm okay with. And my best bud from high school gets out of the car. And he goes, I just want you to know this has been happening the whole time y'all have been dating.
Ooh.
And walks into the rain, and it's like his figure fades away as the rain increases. And I was like, this is a movie. This is wild.
That
this
was
is
your
not
thought
real
there.
Life. Yeah. It's like, this is crazy.
Yeah. There's no, wow.
But, you know, we opened it talking a little bit about peace, the beginning of this podcast. In that moment, you think you'd be the angriest person ever. You'd be so mad. I have never felt the Lord's presence in my life more than in that moment. Yeah. It was insane. I wasn't in control of my body. I wasn't in control of the words that I said. The And I don't say this to like point at me. I say this to point at the Lord and his work and his love. He spoke words of love into that man and that woman that night that they did not deserve through me, and gave me the peace that I did not deserve in that moment too. And so it's the wildest thing that when I look back now, I'm like, I'm so grateful, Lord, that my girlfriend cheated on me, because it cleared up everything. It gave me clarity.
Yeah. And man, that sounds so backwards to the world, man.
Mm-hmm.
That's amazing. God's kingdom.
It's the power of God. He takes the brokenness and makes it clean, makes it fixed. And so it was crazy. And I still say that all the time. I'm like, there's nothing I've been more grateful in my life than that happened. But you know, after that, I stopped drinking completely, went cold, and that was hard.
Yeah.
That was hard. But
do you think you were addicted fully?
Oh, yeah, most definitely. Alcoholism runs hard on my dad's side. They're all alcoholics. My dad was a crazy big drinker in college, and he wasn't a Christian until college. And so he was really bad. And so he started giving me some insight, and he's a professional counselor. So he directed me to some people for AA and different groups like that.
So was there a scene where you told your family about
that Thanksgiving night? Yeah.
Really?
Well,
that night.
Well, I didn't know how else to deal with it. And she was the only person I had. So I ran back to my family, and I had meant to, go check on the dogs and come back. And I was just going to go check on her and come back. And so I didn't know what else to do besides come back. And I come back into the living room with all my family, soaking wet and sobbing.
Yeah.
And everybody just freezes and stares at me, because that's not my typical demeanor. I'm usually a bubbly, a very joyful person. And so that was kind of the turning point. And I told them everything. My parents were like, yeah, we kind of figured we're not dumb. I was like, yeah.
Yeah, parents will shock you with that.
I should have guessed that. But yeah, it was wild. But I'm, again, so grateful for my family, because they handled it in the best way possible. My dad instantly kicked on his counselor mode, and my mom was just the amazing mom she was. And my dad told me a lot about his testimony of having sex before marriage, before they were married, and then how he was really, really bad alcoholic. And so dealing with all of that and what he did and how he's been there, and it made me not feel so alone. And so I was honest with them about everything, and they were very, very supportive. But yeah, that Thanksgiving night. So that was 2 years ago. This Thanksgiving night was a fun one.
Yeah.
Kind of it's tapered or dampened what Thanksgiving means to me a little bit.
Yeah.
But it's also a good time too to celebrate and reflect on that and be like, man, Lord, you work in mysterious ways and
for sure.
In amazing ways. And so that was the turning point. And since then, the Lord provided me with a lot of friendships. In college, in church, in my various jobs that have instilled Christ as a foundation again. And when I was at that rock bottom, all I did was read the Bible and fill myself with the Lord. And so I got to establish my cornerstone with Christ again. And I went back to the same person that I used to be, instead of this shadow of a figure of who I was. And that's glorious to see. And I think other people can testify too, to see the change in the last 2 years of my life and how much the Lord has done good, how much wisdom he's put into my life, how much correction, how many blessings that are him, I can only equate to him. And that's been beautiful. I love God so much. It's crazy how much he does in your life that you don't even notice, and how many little things he does in your life, people he puts in your life. And I think people just take advantage of that all the time and don't see the goodness that is him. But that's essentially my testimony. Was that, and that night shifted everything. It's hilarious to me now that I prayed for that to happen in a way. You know, I said, give me a sign, and then he gave me the clearest sign ever. And then just continually presented to put people in my life and opportunities in my life that would correct my thought process and ability to serve and minister to younger kids whenever I felt I wasn't qualified to do so, but he made me qualified to do that in a time where I was so broken. And so not feeling alone and all of that, and just having him was such a good thing.
Mm-hmm. Do you still have a relationship with that professor who initially called you out?
Yes. He actually retired last year, and that was heartbreaking because we used to go get lunches a lot, and it was weird coming into college at first when you go to a smaller one and everybody has relationships with professors. I wasn't all about that, but now it's my favorite. Yeah. Some of the professors at the college I go to have been just absolutely big mentors in my life.
Mm-hmm. That's awesome. What about like your church life at this point?
Ooh, so church was something that was really hard going into college. I felt that, first of all, there's like a million different churches to go to. So that was really challenging to be able to discern which one I wanted, which one catered to me. And I eventually found one after a long while of trying out. But church life, man, I got involved in my old youth group as a leader. And that pushed me to be better equipped because they would pop up questions where I was like, I actually don't know that. So I wanted and I felt called to renew my faith. If you look at Romans 12 too, it says, do not be conformed to this world, but instead be transformed by the renewal of your mind. And that used to be my life verse until things happened. And now I don't know what it is, but I still love that verse. And I felt like whenever I got into leadership, that verse popped up again. And I was like, you're right. I do need to renew my mind again and again and again so that I can transform others, so I can, you know, be a good leader who will be capable of informing these young students who were so eager to learn, which made me so happy. You know? And so church was really good. And then finding a college ministry with a pastor who was really philosophical in a way, which is something I was intrigued about. I felt like I had always had very elementary level sermons that were just, let's talk about some old Bible story that everybody knows. And so having somebody who challenged me and gave me some really deep thought processes made me, again, more intrigued. I'm such a want to know everything, learn everything, which can be challenging in faith because you have to not know everything sometimes. Yeah. It sucks. But it's pushed me to just read, study. And that was one thing that the pastor said was, he asked if I was reading my Bible every day, and I said, yeah, I actually had been reading my Bible every day. He said, okay, now study the Bible. Ooh, don't just read, study the Bible. When you start to study, then memorize the Bible. And so that's been the step was, because at first I was just checking off a box. I was like, okay, I read my Bible today. Good, I'm a good Christian. Hmm. And now I just have a passion. If I don't legitimately journal every day for like 30 minutes of the Bible, I feel like I didn't eat. Like I want to nourish my soul, just to nourish my body with food and water. And it's so weird to be at that point now. Like, I remember looking at people, and I was like, what are you doing? That's a weird, it's like a weird version of Christianity when you get to that point. When you're a real Christian, you're not just doing it to, you know, check boxes.
Yeah. Well, man, I mean, thanks so much for sharing your story with us. Man, this was the episode I was most excited about when I received your summary. I'm going to be completely honest, because I was like, this is, and you telling it has just confirmed it, this is probably like one of the most interesting testimonies I've ever heard because it's so real and it's relatable to me. And at the beginning you talked about, like, you know, not having much of a testimony, being raised in a Christian home, but when you referenced Ecclesiastes, that kind of ties into it, because it's like you're not missing out on anything. You know, and I think so many Christian kids, Tim Hawkins, he tells a joke where he's like, I wish I was addicted to crack. You know, you feel not enough because of your testimony, but in reality your testimony is beautiful because of that, you know. And just, there's, thank you again for sharing, because there's so much good in that story. And this is probably my favorite episode we've ever done.
Oh, thanks.
I'm going to do some announcements real quick. We have some new merch up and it's a limited run. It's really cool designs. I love that. It's in pre-order currently and will be when this launches. Sweet. And will be, it drops into pre-order when this episode launches. And we also got a really big facelift on our website, which I haven't seen it yet, but I'm sure it looks beautiful because I know who designs our websites. I just want to again reiterate that happy Good Friday. It is finished. Thank you so much for listening.